Welcome to the Last Sunday Podcast, where we discuss last Sunday's sermon at Majestic View Church in beautiful Kiowa, Colorado. Senior Pastor John Smith talks with Kyle Peters to answer questions, provide clarity, and take a deeper dive on some points from the sermon. This is your chance to be a fly on the wall for personal discipleship.
Good afternoon, Kyle.
Good afternoon.
Well, it's been a couple of weeks, and so it's good to be back again. We have just about made it through the summer.
Just about.
As school started back.
That's right.
And so maybe we get back in a routine. I've been gone for a couple of weeks, a little vacation, sort of. And yeah. So it's been good.
All right.
Well, let's pray.
Indeed.
Father, we need you today. As we need you every day. And Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts and use us in this moment as we give this podcast, we work through it. That Lord, we would say things that would honor you and it would be a part of your grand plan. And Father, in obedience to your Spirit, even as I begin this podcast, I am praying that you would grant us a revival in this church, in this community, for the glory of your name. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Before we do get started, I do want to mention something that was part of my 2 weeks, because I had a kind of a dynamic 2 weeks as well. I did start a new job. So there's that. But more importantly, my wife ran a race the first of those 2 weeks. And she ran all of that first week of our 2 weeks off. She finished a 6-day, 120-mile run from Buena Vista to Beaver Creek up through the mountains.
Wow.
All of it on trails. Almost no pavement. You got to cross a few roads here and there. It was, and they camped out every night. They were in a different spot every night. So they had to camp out every night and be self-supporting through the day. So they have to pack up their backpacks, as their weird little backpacks they wear, and carry their water and such and nutrition and run.
Wow.
So it averages 20 miles a day.
Wow.
Some days were a mere 13 or 14 miles.
Yeah, but they might have been straight up, huh?
Yes, those were usually the big climbers. And some of them were 24, 25, 26 miles.
So. Wow. Well, that's impressive.
It was. This is the third time she's done it in person. They actually had a virtual race during COVID.
Okay.
Which is kind of... How do you do that? Well, yeah. It's a lot of time on a treadmill.
I guess
staring at the wall. 120 miles in a week on a treadmill.
Oh,
it was brutal. But she did it.
Right.
She did it. This is also the first race she's run since some pretty traumatic knee surgery she had.
Okay.
And it's the last running of it.
Okay.
It will never happen again.
Okay.
So,
wow.
So I just wanted to let everybody know my
Give
wife.
Give her a shout out. Huh?
My wife is awesome. And she is obviously insane, not just because she married me, but because she runs and calls that fun.
Yeah.
Just an amazing show of athleticism and quite frankly, dogged determination.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
It was pretty awesome.
Cool.
So this last Sunday, Joseph covered the sermon.
Yeah. And before we get into that, our teaser today, what does the beginning, the founding of our nation, and the founding of Majestic View Church have in common? So we'll answer that before we're done.
You know, I think one could probably come up with a few things, but let's get into that. So Joseph started out with something It was a kind of a study on time as God sees it.
Right.
And I felt like, as he was talking about it, I felt like this is something that's problematic for us humans, that we try to impose our own view of the world on others. And
even on God.
And even on God. You know, we see things, that we observe time a certain way. We have our own needs, all these things, and therefore God must be the same.
Right. Well, we see it as, you know, we're limited and he's not.
Right.
And that's a huge part of that. He's outside of time. And that blows my mind. I have trouble even wrapping my brain around that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And so, and I think as Americans, we are even more driven that way than a lot of cultures in the world, especially third world countries. If you know, it's tomorrow. When will you be here? Well, tomorrow. Well, right. Tomorrow may be the next day, or it might be the next week, or it might not be at all.
Right.
Because they're not bound by time the same way we are, and controlled by time like we are.
Well, and we, you know, we wear watches. A lot of cultures don't.
Right.
And we do kind of get down to the minute.
We do.
On some things.
Last summer, my wife and I and Joseph and his wife and two of their daughters went to Chad, Africa, and we spent some time in the camp of a nomadic Muslim family. In fact, two different ones. And, you know, every day is pretty much the same, unless they decide to camp for a couple of days in one spot. But most of the time, it's get up, it's pack up, it's travel for a few hours, and then do it all over again. And it was fascinating just to see that and that way of life. And I mean, day in, day out, that's what they do. And there are certain times of the year they move more, and they have what they call a migration, where they are following the rainfall, because they live basically, Chad is mostly desert, but there is a time of rainfall, then they follow the green grass and do that.
Get their cattle there and such, right. Yeah.
And then they'll turn around and come back, and they make that route. So watching that, they really do not have the binding of time like we do.
And so their existence is just fundamentally different.
Yeah. We would be bored to tears with the pace of our culture to be there for long. So, yes, we are controlled by our watches. We are controlled by our schedules. Mm-hmm. And we get irritated when other people interrupt or hinder those schedules.
Right. Well, and yeah, I admit I have an issue sometimes showing up to this on time, because I get caught up in other things, and this is the last thing I do for the day when we come here usually, and that can, even that little bit can be a hindrance, or it can be how we judge people.
Yes, absolutely. And people do have different values for time. I mean, some people put their schedule over relationships.
Yeah.
In fact, a lot of people do that. And then there's other people that it's all about the relationships, and so they're late everywhere they go because they won't be rude, so to speak, in their mind.
Right.
And then they make somebody else mad, you know.
It's a vicious circle.
So, you know, it's like everything, there's a balance. But you know what Joseph was talking about, and that's the important part of this, is that God's time, we want things to happen, and we want things to happen right now.
Mm-hmm.
And God has a plan for us to be a part of. God has a plan that he invites us to join him in his work when we love him and we know him. And so to be a part of that plan, we have to realize that, you know what, I want God to change you today, but that may not be the way God's going to do it. Sometimes it is. There are things that happen that transform our lives seemingly almost instantly. But that's pretty rare. And so God sees the end before the beginning, and He knows that He is working a process. He's doing a work in our lives. Now, sometimes we're not available, we're not willing, we're not surrendered to His will. In fact, that's a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But God even can use that to mold us and to shape us and to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so understanding that concept and realizing that, you know, I'm praying for somebody that I want to discover God's love. And that might not happen in a day.
Right.
But you know, God is working in their life, and He knows what they need when I don't. And so that's where I've got to be responsive to, okay, Lord, what would You have from me today in this moment? What do You want me to be alert to? What piece can I put in the puzzle today, even if it's just one piece in a 1,000-piece puzzle?
Yeah, so you kind of talked about the... I'm trying to, just an all-encompassing view of time, that to God, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day, all at the same time. And that'll mess with your brain.
It will.
Trying to think about that too hard. But it really just kind of put into perspective for me the idea that He's just not going to be like us, obviously. And as you said, that was an interesting thing you just said, I thought, too, that like He sees the end before the beginning, or can. He just can see all of it. So He knows what's going, where things are at. We make silly TV shows and such about time travel. He doesn't need to time travel. He is time.
He's above time.
He's above it, yeah.
Outside of time.
And I guess I kind of liken it to... A visual perspective of the world from a small child, that I can get down there and I can see things like they can, but I can also stand up and they can't do that.
Right.
And I can see further ahead and I can see further behind. And I guess God's kind of like that on an obviously much more grand scale with time.
Right.
And so...
Except His sight is perfect.
Right. Right.
And His memory is perfect.
Yes. Wait, are you trying to imply that maybe once in a while we don't remember things or see things and get things wrong on occasion?
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
And then we'll even forget what we didn't get right.
That's right.
And repeat
That's
the mistake.
Right. Well, and, yeah. I mean, how many times have all of us, I'm sure, called our kids out for something and just to realize they weren't actually doing what we thought they were doing? They were doing the right thing. I mean, I know I've been guilty of yelling at my kids every now and then only to find out they were actually doing what they were supposed to be doing.
Mm.
But to me, it didn't look quite right.
Yep. Yeah. Obviously, our Lord God loves us. He loves mankind. He gave His Son, Jesus, to die for us. And so He wants the very best for us, the very best purpose for our lives.
Yep. So you kind of mentioned that God's timeline isn't our own because He follows... He's got His own view of things. But then Joseph got into a talk about the 5 great awakenings that have occurred roughly in the United States. One of them kind of gets a little outside of our borders too. Actually, 2 of them. And I kind of struggled to connect the 2 ideas.
Okay, the point is this. One of those awakenings that he talked about, the story that we heard about this one that happened in Canada, mm-hmm. in Saskatchewan, was that for 5 years before that happened, those people were praying. Those people were by faith asking God to do something great. And it didn't happen the first month, it didn't happen the first year, it didn't happen for, but, you know, it took 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And before God moved in that area, but the people were faithful and persistent. And I think that's what he was talking about. All that time during those years that they were waiting and praying and asking, there was a couple of times they almost had a revival breakout. They talked about that.
Yep, yep.
But because a few things started happening and then it stopped. And it's almost like God was saying, are you going to be faithful even when you don't get what you mm-hmm. think you want? And so, but they continued on. Now, God knew what he was going to do and when he was going to do it.
Right.
And so he could see the big picture. But those people were limited, just like you and I are limited. You know, we can start praying today, and there's a lot of people over the, throughout the years that have prayed for revival and never saw it. But God knows what he wants to do. And one of the things that God does want us to do is to pray for the renewal, for our own renewal, for the renewal of his people, mm-hmm. and for the gospel of Jesus Christ to go all over the world. And so that's best accomplished when people are experiencing the presence and the power of the Lord and hearing and able to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So God sees the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
We can get caught up in the moment and even in what feels like a step back instead of a step forward.
Right.
And realize that all these things are working together for good to those that know the Lord and for those that are going to be faithful in his work.
Yeah, and I think with that case in particular, it's really easy for us to have that myopic view of things and say, well, it hasn't happened yet. God's not listening. We haven't gotten what we've been praying for. And to return to the original point, it was 5 years to those humans, but it was a second. It was a blink of an eye to God.
Because very, very small.
He's got his timeline, and our needs in that, this may not be the right way of saying it, but our needs in that situation or our desires in that situation perhaps are kind of inconsequential.
Yes, and that's, you can say, well, I don't really matter. No, that's not true. Everybody right. matters to the Lord. But it seems like my part's not very big, but yet you have a part.
Well, and maybe, and that was the other thing I was thinking there too, is those 5 years, maybe it took 5 years because it needed to take 5 years. They needed to build up. They needed to get close and lose it and get close again and lose it to truly appreciate and hold on to when revival finally hit them.
Sure. To be able to meet the need when it comes.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a great example. We've been praying in this church. I've been praying. My wife, our elders, we have been praying for quite some time for the marriages in this church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not professional counselors here, and we don't claim to be.
Mm-hmm.
I am a professional pastor. Okay, and now if that's equated with counseling, which it is sometimes, that's fine. But in the state of Colorado, I'm not a counselor.
Right.
I'm not a recognized, okay? And right now, my wife and I are staying very busy with couples that are coming to us saying, would you help us? Could you help us? Would you be willing to do this? And it gets overwhelming. Well, what about if we had a revival and all of a sudden we had 30 couples coming to us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way we can meet that demand. So we have started working with 4 other couples that are coming alongside of us that are going to be involved in the mentoring process and coming alongside and encouraging and helping people that are trying to make a change in the way they live their lives. And so that means if we get those people trained, then we can start shifting our focus or even, you know, able to meet the needs of more people.
Right.
Well, if you're not prepared, if you're not qualified, trained, and see, that's one of the big callings that God gave to pastors. He called me to train people to do the work of the ministry. We have a mindset as Americans that pastors are to do the work of the ministry. But my work is first to train people to do the work of the ministry. And that's the multiplication process of discipleship, of mentoring. If I train you to be a mentor, and then you go train somebody else, you go mentor somebody, meanwhile training them to be a mentor, then all of a sudden, look, I've multiplied myself.
Right, yes.
And that's God's plan. And so when we start praying for revival, when that church in Saskatchewan started praying for revival, God was doing things in their heart. He was teaching them how to pray. He was teaching them the importance of prayer. He was teaching them how to love people. He was teaching them how to see the needs of people. And all those things are an essential part of God's work.
I feel like we might need to level set for just a moment. What is revival? I mean, obviously, the root word is revive.
Right.
But
well, revival, Joseph gave us a definition, and I didn't write it down.
I didn't have it memorized.
But in that, revival is when there is an awakening of the people of God to His presence. There is an abundance of His presence. There is people find humility. They find the power of repentance in their lives. And there's a transparency and a freeing that happens from the bondage that most of us face in our lives. The spiritual bondage, the emotional bondage. Revival is getting rid of that stuff, and it's finding victory over those traps that we get into. So it's people's hearts and lives being transformed and finding real freedom in Christ Jesus.
Well, and with that definition in mind, I think we got a little history lesson, and it was of the five great awakenings, as they're historically referred to. And I think that term awakening is kind of a great synonym with revival, that the culture is awakened, is revived.
Absolutely. Great point, because one of the things you'll see when the darkness was really difficult during historical periods in this nation or in this world, the darkness was there was no fear of God. There was no understanding of God. There was no respect of God. God wasn't even acknowledged. Now, we hear people acknowledge the word God, but even when tragedy happens, this is what you hear in the media. Well, you're in our thoughts and prayers.
Right.
Where's the mention of God there?
No, and nowhere. It's sanitized.
It's an implication that they're praying.
Kind of.
But who are they praying to, and what are they praying for?
Well, and it may not be prayers. It may be thoughts.
Right.
Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers. So that way it's inclusive of everybody.
Right.
But for the Christian, prayer is all about seeking the presence of the Holy God through the person of Jesus Christ. And it is God coming in power and changing men's hearts and lives, to teach us how to love, to teach us how to be merciful, to teach us how to be gracious, because that's what He is. And so an awakening is when people begin to say, oh, wow, this is what God is really like.
Yeah, and so you talked about the first great awakening in the United States, wasn't the United States but at that time, but in 1735, that 15% of the population in what is now the United States came to Christ in 2 years.
That's a pile of people.
Yeah, it's a whole sled load of folks.
And it is.
Imagine, I can't imagine. I mean, if that happened today, the number of people and the the impact that that would have.
Well, in Elbert County, what did Joseph say that number was?
Oh, I didn't write it down. It was a lot.
It was a couple thousand.
Yeah,
I think several thousand. Right, 4,000.
We're not exactly a densely populated suburban center here.
But imagine, I mean, if you combined the Sunday morning attendance of all the churches that name the name of Christ in our area,
mm-hmm.
it's less than 2,000.
Yeah.
I'm talking about in Elbert County.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you get into Denver, you can get above those numbers. But here in Elbert County, hopefully. So we're talking about more people being saved
in two years
than currently attend church
right.
on a Sunday morning in Elbert County.
Yeah.
That's maybe even double that. I mean, it's
right.
If it's 2,000 and we're talking 4,000, I think is what the number he
gave us. I'm wanting to say it was around there, plus or minus a few.
That's amazing.
It would be amazing. It's amazing that it happened.
Only God can do that.
Well, and that was. So that was something I got to, like, you can't plan that. I can't make a social media campaign
right.
that is going to go viral and have 15% of the population. I'm not sure that I can get 15% of the population to agree that we landed on the moon at this point. You know? Yeah,
It's a challenge.
And he went through a couple others. There was the Second Great Awakening from the 1790s to the 1830s. Which, you know, we were, as a country, founded in 1776. And so, the Bill of Rights was 1791. So it's right in the heart of the most formidable years of our nation. We had a Second Great Awakening. And then in 1857... One could argue that led to the Civil War, which sounds horrible, but what it really led to was the freeing of the slaves.
Yep.
That a great awakening like that, a revival in our nation. And I found it interesting. I did not know this about this one. I'd never heard it referred to as the Businessman's Revolution. I'd only just kind of known it had happened. Something had happened around that time frame. But no details, and that it got to such a point that almost all of Manhattan was shut down for an hour every single day of the week.
For prayer. To God.
Right. Not thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, but it was prayer to God through His Son, Jesus Christ.
And, I mean, it's odd. It's kind of odd to pass a church in Manhattan these days.
Oh, yeah.
And nothing stops.
It's a tough place. Yeah.
It is.
It never sleeps.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. Which means when you go and visit there, you don't sleep very well. And then this one we kind of got out a little bit. 1904, the Welsh Revolution, obviously starting in Wales. And then we actually had a movie about this recently. The 60s and 70s, the Jesus Movement, which spawned... The Saskatchewan city of Saskatoon revival that you were talking about, and that they spent 5 years kind of preparing for that. I don't know if they knew they were preparing for it necessarily.
Well, they were hungry for it.
Yes.
They were determined to ask God and be faithful to ask God and wait on what the Lord wanted to do. And, you know, Kyle, there's so many good things that happened there. But I think it was a aha moment for our church, because one of the men that was transformed by the Saskatchewan revival was a man named Henry Blackaby.
Mm-hmm.
And Henry Blackaby wrote a book and developed a Bible study called Experiencing God. In 1995... I had four people walk up to me from four different parts of the country at four different locations at four different times and say to me, John, you need to do the Experiencing God study. Well, after the fourth person said that to me, I thought, and
Maybe I should.
Something going on here.
Yeah.
And so in January, I started that in the church that I was pastoring in Arkansas. A lot of things happened, but the biggest thing that happened in my life was my heart and life was transformed and understanding what it means to join God in His work instead of trying to do God's work for Him, which wouldn't have said that out loud, but that really was my mindset. I've got to be busy for God instead of I need to go where God is busy and join Him in what He's doing. Well, with that transformation, that mindset, and then discovering the heartbeat of that is loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. In March of that year, my life began to be changed dramatically, and God began to work in our church. By April, God had opened the door, actually closed the door, and I was no longer going to be the pastor of that church.
All right.
And God had called me to go plant a church, which is something I've been wanting to do since I was in college, and now I'm 35 years old. And so we began that journey, and God brought me to a little town called Kiowa, Colorado, through a whole long list and series of circumstances. And today, we have a thriving church in Kiowa because of the grace of God, because God was doing a work here, and He let us be a part of it. So we can directly trace the roots of how God trained me to lead this church, Majestic View, but as a fruit of the revival that happened in Saskatchewan, a direct line to it.
You know, and that just, I think that's something that, again, we maybe it's particular to our society. I don't think it is. I think it's more particular to human nature that we need to take that step back and realize that we don't control everything, but also that the fruits of our labor may not be today. They may not be in our lifetimes.
Right.
I would imagine, I mean, I don't know if Mr. Blackaby's even still around.
No, he passed away.
Yeah, but, you know, possible that the influence he had, it's likely he never fully knew. I mean, how could he?
Right.
Right, because there are things happening here that you and I will never know about, and thus, Mr. Blackaby had a hand in that.
Yes.
And he'll never understand, and none of us will, the multi-generational impact that we can have.
You know, that's the beauty of being faithful.
Right.
And it's the beauty of saying, God, I want to be a part of building Your kingdom. Because it gives my life not just meaning in the moment, it gives my life meaning for eternity. Mm-hmm. Listen, this thing that we're doing here is a lot bigger than me and you. You know, people look at you and say, well, you're the senior pastor of Majestic View Church. You're the big shot around here.
That's right.
No. I'm a speck, man.
Yeah.
I have a great privilege, and I have a great responsibility to the people of this church and this community to represent Christ correctly. But I have a great responsibility to the future generations. Mm-hmm. I have a great responsibility. And who knows today, let's just go back a few months ago, sitting right here in the same spot that we're sitting in, I was able to walk with your daughter through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
As you sat there and had tears running down your face.
A little bit.
Praise the Lord. And who knows what impact she's going to have on this world.
Yeah.
Who knows what impact that person that you meet at work today and you begin to build a relationship with, and you lead to Christ someday in the future. Who knows who they might be and what God might do in their lives?
You know, we talked a few months ago on this podcast and in sermons about purpose. And I've always had that kind of thought in my head of, we look for purpose for the here and now. We try to find purpose in what we do today. But I think we need to maybe look more broadly, too, that our purpose is likely something that we'll never fully understand or even know. That it might be something, my purpose here today might be to raise my daughter for the thing that she's, the purpose she has and what she's going to do. And who knows what that is, you know, and I may not live to see it. It may be that my purpose is to raise her so that she raises
right.
the person who brings about the next revival.
Who knows? You know, I just had the image in my mind. We've all that's had an opportunity to walk up to a still body of water. Mm. And then you throw a rock
right.
into the middle of that pond or whatever that body of water is. And what began as one splash and one circle becomes, it multiplies
right.
as it spreads out and has an increasing impact. It was one rock that did that.
Mm-hmm.
But because of its impact, it impacted potentially the whole body of water.
Right.
Kyle, it is so important that we understand that us being faithful today is the calling of God. It's us being faithful to our part. And that might be me going out and changing a flat tire on a car in front of the church, you know, or
right.
And that person saying, "Are you kidding me? You'd take the time to stop and help me?" Well, let me tell you, the only reason I do this is because I want to care about people.
Yeah. I think that's something that we can all have a good learning of, too, a good lesson from, is that we should never pass up an opportunity to help someone else.
To be faithful to represent the person of Christ and his true character.
There you go.
So if we are faithful to represent who Christ is, the Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ.
Mm.
That means we are representatives of Christ to the world. And, you know, I think that one of the most important things I do every week is prepare a sermon.
Right.
As I speak to people. But that really pales in its impact when you think about the impact I can have with sitting here with you and mentoring or discipling you. Are one of the other men that I do that with.
Right.
As I do that and I invest in your life and we care about each other and we love each other as brothers, then we don't know where that's going to take.
Mm.
But we know that if we're faithful to do that, as the calling of God is, he said, go into all the world and make disciples. And so as we do that, we are going to have that long-term impact on eternity.
One of the closing quotes that I thought of that was interesting that Joseph said was, "A lack of corporate revival is no excuse for not living in personal revival."
Amen.
And you know, I kind of translated that in my head of, just because there's not some great book coming out that we all just think we have to buy, or a new app that we all need to download and follow, we can do this on. We need to be doing it on our own, no matter what. And we start with our own soul that moves to our own house, that eventually will move out to our neighborhood and our community. And that's how revivals start. And some of those revivals started nations. Some of them freed a whole group of people. And some of them started a little church in Kiowa, Colorado.
And that's what the founding of our nation and
there
the founding of this church had in common. It was the result, the long-term result,
mm-hmm.
of people that were faithful. And they asked God to bring revival to their heart. You know, something I want to throw in here as we close is this. Kyle, the most important thing I do every day is to discover something fresh I didn't say necessarily new.
All right.
Because sometimes it's something that I've known for a long time. But to discover fresh something about my God. Because you see, when I do that and I'm constantly renewing that relationship with Him and growing, and some days it's learning something new, okay?
Right.
Then when I go out into the world, as I learn that, and learn does not mean hear, it means to be changed by it. As I discover the love of Christ, as I discover His grace, as I discover His wisdom, as I discover all that He is, it changes me. Mm-hmm. And that empowers me to go bless somebody else, to love them, to give them grace, to give them mercy, to give them a word of wisdom that's from God. So the most important part of my day is the day that I spend discovering Him so that He can prepare me for the mission of the day. Hmm. And, you know, we can talk all the time. Y'all ought to read your Bible. Y'all ought to pray.
Yep. Which are important.
Which, yes. But if that's your mindset,
right,
it's not going to change your life. If your mindset is, how can I discover God today? Mm. I need
to walk
in the presence of God today. That's the way you have personal revival. Because revival is first and foremost God showing up.
Hmm. You know, as I looked at those five great revivals, they occur about every 55 to 60 years, which means we're kind of getting due for one.
We are due for one. And the Lord knows we need one.
Oh, my goodness. And one of the things that I just, one of the spontaneous things I wrote down here was, what if the next great revival relied on me? Which is terrifying. But
and we should be humbled by the thought that we could be a part of that.
Yeah.
But here's the good news. It doesn't. It relies on God.
Right, exactly.
But not to lose the impact of what you're saying is, what about if I get to be a part of it?
Yeah.
What about if I get to be on the ground floor?
Mm-hmm.
What
am I ready? What have I done to prepare myself for that?
Well, and what am I doing to be faithful?
Yeah.
That God might have that opportunity through my life.
Absolutely.
Good stuff, bro.
Indeed. Indeed. What have we got in it for next week?
We're going to be talking about good versus bad, good versus evil.
Okay.
And the text is from Matthew chapter 12. We're going to get back into Matthew. You know, we've been weaving in and out of the book of Matthew now for several months.
Right.
And we're going to be getting back to there. And I'm going to help you understand, for the first time in my life, I really understand what God means by what we call theologically the unpardonable sin.
Mm, okay.
Now, some people, it's a very controversial subject, and we're going to butt heads with it this week.
Let's do it.
And God has shown me some things about that has electrified my soul.
Hmm. Well, I will look forward to that.
And it will tie in to what Joseph and Jonathan have preached the last 2 weeks.
All right.
So I'm buckle intrigued. Your seatbelt.
Indeed. You know, anytime we get to ruffle some feathers.
Well, I'm not necessarily going to ruffle some feathers. I think I'm going to answer some questions.
Yeah. Well, be thought-provoking, I guess, is where I'm going
with
that.
There you go.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to next week then.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you.